Welcome to episode 9 of this podcast series, Reflections for a Church in Lockdown. Over the last 8 weeks, I've offered a reflection every week for the church in the pandemic based on Psalms 1 to 8. Thanks for listening and for the feedback. If you missed any of them, they're all available online. Today's episode is a bit different. We've come to a particular place now in our journey through COVID-19. The lockdown is easing little by little. This week, we were able to open many of our churches for private prayer. I hope it'll not be too long now before we can begin to meet again. So this is a good time to look back, but also to begin to look forward. Every diocese has something called a synod. The word synod means travelling together. Our diocesan synod consists of clergy and lay people elected from every deanery across our diocese. Last Saturday, the 13th of June, around 140 of us met together by Zoom for 3 hours to look back and to look out and to look forwards. As the Bishop of Oxford, it's my privilege to be the president of the synod. And so every time we meet, I give a talk called a presidential address. And this podcast is largely my address from our synod. I hope you'll find it helpful and that if you do, you'll share it with others across the diocese. Reflections for a Church in Lockdown will continue with a new weekly reflection on Scripture from next week. And I'm going to focus over the next few weeks on Paul's letter to the Philippians as we explore how we can reset and rebuild our church and our society as we emerge from the pandemic. So do join me for those reflections. But first, from last Saturday's synod, my address. I want to begin with the warmest possible word of thanks to the congregations, clergy, wardens, lay ministers and volunteers of the diocese for your remarkable and deeply humbling response to the COVID-19 pandemic and all of the challenges of the last 4 months. Thank you for your prayer, dedication and commitment, your hopefulness, your determination, your wrestling with the detail, your mastering of the technology, the love shown in the wider community, the recalling of the church to pastoral care, your wisdom in watching over yourself, your ministry to the grieving and hurting, your good humour. Thanks to the chaplains in hospitals and prisons and schools and other settings. Thanks to head teachers, staff and governors, and to children's and youth ministers. Thanks to my colleagues in the Bishop's staff and in Church House, who've demonstrated exemplary leadership. Thank you to all those who've lived out their faith and discipleship in such challenging times as salt and light in thousands of different places. And thank you to the whole diocese for your extraordinary response to the financial challenges we're facing, both locally and regionally. As many listening to this podcast will know, I'm in the process of meeting with the clergy chapters and lay chairs in every deanery across the diocese to listen to how things are. We're meeting by Zoom. I've had 10 such meetings so far out of our 29 deaneries. And each one has been deeply moving, as people have shared, yes, the personal and pastoral demands and questions, and sometimes a sense of tiredness. But colleagues have also shared positive stories of fruitful ministry, appreciation of their congregations, the discovery of new gifts, and a sense of wonder at God's provision. We're only partway through the crisis, as everyone listening to this address will appreciate. The wave of COVID-19 infections has reached its first peak. Our country has been enormously well served by our National Health Service, by care home staff, by key workers, by scientists pioneering treatments and vaccines. But there is much more to come, we know. The challenge of living with COVID as a society in the medium term. The accumulated grief where funerals have been disrupted by lockdown. The effects of fear and isolation on the mental health of the nation. The catastrophic recession which we will begin to experience. The numerous decisions which will need to be made in every single school and every single local church. The effects on the young, who may miss up to 6 months of education. The effects on the elderly, who are missing families and friends. The effects on our national life, as the disruption comes, as we are still finding our way through the dilemmas of Brexit. The effects on our global life, as we negotiate the crisis of climate change, of racial prejudice and tension, of the effects of the pandemic still to be felt fully in the developing world. It will be clear to all of us, I think, that we are living through one of the most defining moments of our lives. The ways in which our nation responds to the pandemic on issues of fairness, opportunity, care for the environment, global engagement, and economic recovery will determine our future and the future of the next generation. The comparison with 1945 is genuinely helpful for this moment. The post-war years saw a new Education Act, the forming of the National Health Service, the extension of the welfare state, the devolution of power to new nation-states globally, and the establishing of the great worldwide institutions which have guided us ever since. Could the next 5 years see a similar determination to refound and reset the world on principles of justice, peace, and sustainability, such deeply Christian values, and in a way which builds God's kingdom for this next generation? As a church and as a society, we cannot help but be winded by such a severe pandemic. We may be knocked down for a moment, but we must not be knocked out. There is a vital task of rebuilding to be done, and we must all play our part in that. So how should we as a church move forward in these challenging, important, and unpredictable times? We have our two questions, which have been with us for the last 3 years now. What kind of church are we called to be? A more Christ-like church for the sake of God's world. More contemplative, more compassionate, and more courageous. That vocation is even more central, if possible, following the pandemic. Those three qualities will be even more vital. We will be in a season where life is likely to be unpredictable, where the right decisions will need to be made locally, where much about church life is likely to change. There is no map for the next part of our road together. There's no monopoly of wisdom either in bishops or senior teams. We have no map, but we have been given a true north, a pattern, a compass, the person and character of Christ. We have been given the assurance of the Father's love. One of the verses from last Sunday's reading from Exodus I found very powerful and helpful this week. I carried you on eagle's wings and bore you to myself. I carried you on eagle's wings and bore you to myself. And we have the gift of the Holy Spirit, God with us, to strengthen, to inspire, to form us into the likeness of Christ, to be alongside us, to help us to respond locally and prayerfully and differently and powerfully to what we are being called to do and to be. So our answer to the first question remains the same, therefore. We are called to be a more Christ-like church for the sake of God's world. Our second question, you remember, is this. What are we therefore called to do together next? Here I think we will need to adjust our horizons and our timings and our plans, as is only right after such major disruption. But the five strategic goals of our common vision will remain as our priorities, lived out in different ways. We will continue to strive to make a bigger difference in the world. The pandemic has taken some momentum from the rising determination to combat climate change. But we have also learned hard lessons about the fragility of life and the importance of following the science. Our carbon footprint has been reduced necessarily. There is a growing determination to live more simply after lockdown and to translate many of these lessons into habits. The COVID pandemic has fallen hardest on the poorest and has sharpened inequalities of wealth and power. It's good to see the work of our diocesan group on inequalities and poverty progressing, led by the Cowley Deanery, and to see our investment in partnership with Citizens UK bearing fruit in the first Thames Valley Citizens Assembly last week, with representatives from Reading and Oxford and Milton Keynes. We remain deeply committed to developing catechesis, the nurture of new Christians, and to the discipleship of all. Many churches, I've heard, are taking the tentative steps to offer the Alpha Course or Christianity Explored or Pilgrim or similar courses to those who have crossed the virtual threshold of our church over the last 3 months. Many are finding a real interest, even a hunger, to learn more about the Christian faith in a safe setting. And I would encourage every church to make some plans for this autumn to help those who are asking deeper questions to go further and continue to engage with all that we are learning about discipleship, Monday to Saturday faith, and personal discipleship plans in the coming months. We have a goal of establishing hundreds of new congregations in the coming years as a diocese to respond in part to new buildings and new homes being built across the diocese, and in part to the many who are unable to connect with existing patterns of congregational life. And by the grace of God, we have seen a foretaste of all those new congregations in the growth of digital worship in hundreds of places in just a few weeks. It's been remarkable. Over 90% of our benefices are offering worship online, which is so humbling to see. People have been immensely appreciative of what is offered while still missing church on Sundays, of course. Numbers taking part have been very significant. And there are real lessons here for what is possible in this digital virtual space, even as our buildings will reopen in the coming weeks. We are learning what it means to form new communities almost as a byproduct of responding faithfully to the pandemic. We remain deeply committed to children and young people through our schools who have faced and will face immense challenges in the coming months. All that we're learning about chaplaincy and mental health and the need to support our schools will become more important, not less. We focused in the Synod last Saturday on our new report, Disciples Together, about families and children and young people as central to the life of the church. And we focused on the five key shifts we need to make in our engagement with families, children and young people through our churches. You can find more about that report on our website. We remain committed to celebrating and blessing Milton Keynes as our largest and fastest growing centre of population and as a vital part of our diocese. I find myself in listening mode much of the time at the moment, as I try and understand the manifold effects of the pandemic. But I have a tentative conclusion as I listen about what is happening. Where the church is responding well, my headline to understand what's going on is that we are being stripped back to what is really essential, the love of God and love of neighbour, to being with Jesus together and being sent out in God's mission, to seeking to be more Christ-like. We are rediscovering the value of simple acts of pastoral care and relationships. We are rediscovering the value of deep partnerships in our communities. We are rediscovering mutual support in all kinds of ways and places. I think every single one of the clergy chapters I have visited has felt more united, and not just because the bishop has dropped in. Clergy morale has been as high as it is, despite the difficulties, because we are rediscovering what it means to be deacons and priests and bishops again, set free from the normal round of services and meetings, to invest in people and in prayer. I hope that will continue. Every single church and benefice will need to reopen and to build back slowly in the coming weeks. It's significant that our synod last week met on the day that the government gave permission to church buildings to reopen for private prayer, providing some conditions are met. Clergy and people will need to pray and think together about how best to move forward. The journey of recovery will be slower than our journey into lockdown. Life is not going to be a quick return to the old normal, but rather a new living with the virus, certainly for the rest of this year and through next year. Lockdown has been difficult, but it's also brought new insights, opportunities, and priorities to the surface. Part of being a contemplative church will be to reflect carefully on lessons learned and next steps. We're therefore offering this week a new tool which you can find on our diocesan website, loosely framed by the Anglican Five Marks of Mission, to aid reflection, to help people discern prayerfully and plan strategically the shape of the mission of the church in each of our contexts. The Five Marks of Mission connect very closely with our calling to be a more Christ-like church for the sake of God's world. These are five different aspects of the work and character of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus does these things, so do we, his church. So the tool invites you to look together at each mark of mission and reflect on what has been lost through the pandemic, which we need to grieve, what has been reduced that we need to let go of, what has been reduced that we need to build up again, and what new things have emerged that we need to respond to. We recognise that the church will need to change. But that change will emerge in a thousand different ways locally as we pay careful attention to the Spirit and as we hold on to our core values of being a contemplative, compassionate, and courageous church after the pattern of Christ. Thank you again for all you have given and are doing and will continue to be and to give. May God bless you, and God bless every chaplaincy, every school, and every church within our diocese as we seek to rise to the challenge of this moment. A prayer for the Diocese of Oxford. God of gentleness and love, draw near to us as we draw near to you. Dwell in every heart and conversation. Fashion in us the likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to discern together all that you are calling us to be and all that you are calling us to do. Assist us by your Spirit to become a more contemplative, more compassionate, and more courageous church for the building of your kingdom and the glory of your Son. Amen.